This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's Tina Camellia, Kelly Anissa and Sumitra Selvaraj. If you've just joined us, you're listening to the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture. Earlier, we heard from linguist Dr. Surinderpal Kaur from University of Malaya about how the internet has changed the way we communicate. Coming right up is the controversial statement made by a senator. You know what I'm talking about. But is there really more to the story? Don't forget, you can chime in with your thoughts as well or participate in our poll.
So we're asking you on Twitter, do politicians need gender sensitivity training? 69% of you have voted yes, followed by 25% of you who said it won't make a difference, and 6% of you said no. So you can join that. You can take that poll and join the conversation by tweeting us at BFM Radio, or you can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or call us at 03-7733-2900.
So in case you don't know what we're talking about, here's what the good senator said, and I quote, "I propose to the minister that we create a sexual harassment act to protect men against the demeanor, words and clothing of women, which can cause them to be seduced to a point where they commit acts such as incest, rape, molestation, pornography and others," unquote. This was said by retired Navy Commodore, former Lumut MP and current PKR Senator Muhammad Imran Abdul Hamid. Now, without defending him, you can almost imagine if these words were delivered in a private conversation, which reflected private values and judgment.
Yeah. But no, instead, this proposal was shared with Malaysia's upper house of parliament in the presence of other senators and was meant to be for serious consideration. I mean, why else would you even broach your thoughts in an assembly of elected and appointed representatives unless you had a clear purpose?
So we really wanted to be able to dissect this, right? It's easy to be able to jump onto a statement like this and say, oh no, you're an awful person. But what was the truth of what happened in that august house? So to gain a little clarity, we speak to Senator Yusmadi Yusof. He's also the head of the Senate Reform Working Committee, who was there when the comment was made. Senator Muhammad Imran has apologised and retracted his wildly unpopular proposed law. But can you help us understand how the proposal made it to the floor in the first place? Is there a vetting process prior to sharing the proposal?
Basically, what happened in the hall is he put up his personal view at the last part of his speech while debating a bill of Program Syari Wilayah Persekutuan. So, factually, what really happened, it was not an official proposal or motions or usul the way it was being reported. So, but unfortunately, the news covered the last part of his speech. So, having said so, what will be the effect of when someone argue in that fashion? Yes, it still give the same effect when issues was recorded in the handset in the parliamentary notes. So the questions of vetting, the questions of pre-counsel, the questions of pre-discussion is not an issue because each senator has been given freedoms and liberty to debate whatever they may think of their interest and represent the interest that they represent. For example, in the case of Senator Imran, he is actually a senator representing a state of Perak. And so, of course, in this particular context, he representing Parti Keadilan. So, of course, it is expected he has to express the views of the state of Perak and also the interest that Parti Keadilan has been advocating all this while. And in this context, I have to say what he has said, especially the last part of his speech, not even representing the aspiration and the belief and values of Parti Keadilan.
The reaction to his the part of his speech, I won't call it a proposal since you've made that clear, the reaction to the last part of his speech was, you know, a unilateral uproar. In terms of what he said in the Senate, is it likely that he will be censured by the upper house?
For the benefits of the, I would say, listener, how the session being governed? The session being governed by what we call Aturan Mesyuarat. What we mean Aturan Mesyuarat is a special rules which was enacted by parliamentary law to govern the kind or types of words used. So, of course, the very guiding principles, among others, is say you can't utter something unparliamentarian. That's why you very much see those kind of words being uttered and being challenged in the Dewan Rakyat, especially when you see many dramas there. But in the case of Dewan Negara, the same principles have been used. But to censure, to take someone to further certain actions, of course, there are different sets of aturan mesyuarat. For example, in the case of Dewan Negara, you can even push a motion that someone can be referred to a privileged committee. So, at privileged committee, typically, the two circumstances. Number one, if you, their colleagues, mislead the hall. For example, they will attempt the other day to bring a minister who said something in the hall and totally different what was said outside, especially in the case of there's one particular anti-corruption case where involving certain political personality, and the answer by the minister has created a misunderstanding, and according to one senator, that it has to be referred to the privileged committee. Mm-hmm. So now, in Dewan Negara, there's no such thing. And recently, the speaker said, look, if you want to do, say, for example, refer someone in this particular context, you have to follow different process. So what happened recently, the speaker, despite saying there's no such rules, but also demand clarification from the ministers. Mm-hmm. And the minister did clarify himself that he said something and was quoted out of context. So in this particular case, in the case of Senator Imran, what I envisage is actually the speaker is actually a person who can address this issue, especially when we see a very strong public uproar in the form of social media, in the form of, even I saw a petition actually.
Mm. So that was Senator Yusmadi Yusof who made it clear that although it was widely reported in the media as a proposal, it wasn't. In fact, it was even picked up by the international media and said a bill was being passed. This was merely an offhand personal opinion presented at the end of a debate over an unrelated issue. And I say merely not because it's not of value, but that's what it was.
Mm. And, you know, so there's two issues here to look at, right? The first, which is the why the Senator Mohammad Imran thought that there was space and time to include an offhand remark that was clearly included for effect and not value.
Absolutely, yeah. Agreed. And the second one is why this was reported in the way it was by the media from Senator Yusmadi's perspective. And he was there, mind you, unlike the rest of us. Mm-hmm. It was clear that this was not a formal proposal. Yep. But every news report on it made it sound like it was. And in fact, one news report mentioned that Senate Deputy President Abdul Halim Abdul Samad, who was presiding over the sitting, merely responded to Senator Mohammad Imran by saying this was a, quote, good viewpoint amidst chuckles from fellow senators.
Yeah, but Senator Yusmadi Yusof begs to differ, though.
Okay, this is also, I have to clarify, because what happened actually, if I was there actually, I was debating even something stronger point. I was debating something I thought is supposed to be has news value and matter of public interest. Mm-hmm. Because the bill was talking about that the eligibility or the requirement to be a pegawai syar'i is only meant for the Muslim. So I stood up on behalf of Kadilan to say, look here, we have to see from different angle, from different constitutional point of view, from the Article 5.3, the access to justice right to be represented by counsel of choice. And the argument was responded by the minister, was argued by the senior counsel from DAP. It was so interesting. But unfortunately, what was taken by the media is a slant, something which for me, something need to be discussed, but there's something bigger what was discussed. So I feel so disappointed in that context. But having said so, if I can understand, because I've been following how the conduct of the session was done, the speaker was actually congratulating the total effect of all speeches.
Understood.
Because why? Senator Imran was the last speaker.
Mm.
So he was referring to all other speeches as well. So of course, it's always good to end every session to say that, typically, you know, what more in the Malay context, adab whatsoever, satu hujah yang baik, whatever. When he said that, he's not referring specifically to the hujah by by, who's this, Senator Imran. So knowing Deputy Speaker, Senator Dato' Halim, mm-hmm. I think he is, if you were to follow him, he was the person who are very, I would say, not chauvinistic. He was the person who always talk about adab. He's always the person who always put pantun. I think in this particular context, to be fair to him, I have to defend him because he was wrongly quoted and put his opinion to juxtapose and to give a very negative context. I think in this particular case, I think I have to defend him. But in the case of Senator Imran, he has to be responsible on what he said, especially when received a very negative reaction from the public, especially. And I'm very happy in this particular context, Datuk Shuan Ibrahim and the party make immediate statement to say that it is something uncalled for, that something he has to explain, something they have to retract. It doesn't represent Parti Keadilan's values in the first place.
Thank you for clarifying that, Senator Yusmadi. That really helps. And you mentioned that it was Senator Mohamed Imran's personal opinion. So what standards mm-hmm. does the Senate Reform Working Committee expect of its fellow senators when it comes to matters of public opinion? Can you just say whatever you feel like saying?
Okay. But first of all, at least from my understanding, Dewan Negara is not a place where we're going to have a standardized or uniform opinion. That's not what democracy is about. Mm-hmm. Democracy is about to manage different views. That's why I've been telling everyone democracy is not about the outcome very much. It's about the process. Like when you make a sausages, the making of sausages is ugly, but the outcome is nice. So this is what, because there are more than 500 definitions on democracy. It's open. I'm studying that as a matter of fellow for democracy and development. But in this context, I want to say, having said so, yes, a senator is responsible to say whatever they said, but at the same time, we have to have certain guiding principles. So in this context, what is the guiding principle? So as someone who are pushing for the Senate reform, I would love to see that Dewan Negara as a place where the core competence of the nation, the senator representing the state, senator representing the minority interest, the minority interest can be the orang asli, wanita, minority interest, they be made minority, I'm very sorry. Mm-hmm. Wanita actually is important for us, but we out of our wrong policies, all right. So what I'm trying to say, that Dewan Negara has to be a place where the core competent to talk something of importance for the bigger agenda of the country. So in this particular case, it is not a bigger agenda of the country. In fact, it's a counterproductive to what I want to do. So the question, what should I do now? So what I should do now, I realize there's a lot of political literacy, political education need to be done. And in fact, for your information, I feel very sad that I tried to get attention of media to Dewan Negara. Unfortunately, it get attention for wrong reason, because there are so many reform being done, what was not getting attention. So I think I had to work harder.
You know, I'm so glad I got to speak to Senator Yusmadi. Mm. Can you imagine how the story was represented one way in the media, what we understood of it, how it was picked up by the international media, and what the real outcome of it was. Mm. And it's one thing to report the news incorrectly, but in this case, the news report made it sound like the Deputy Speaker of the Senate was condoning the actions of Senator Mohamed Imran, which, as Senator Yusmadi points out, is clearly not the case. This is unjust.
Yeah. Mm.
It's irresponsible journalism. That's what it is.
Yes.
And still, as we keep coming back to this, you know, this isn't something that you can just throw out. There is also the matter of wasting the time of the Senate.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. If you have only a small window of time to debate over important issues that benefit the country, where is the time for a joke? No matter how good or how how tasteless it might be, which is why the Deputy Prime Minister has mooted the idea of gender sensitivity training for all elected representatives.
Hmm. I don't know. Do you think gender sensitivity training will really make a difference? I know how I voted on the poll.
I mean, so we were asking you on Twitter, do politicians need gender sensitivity training? Ivan wrote in on Twitter and said they need common sense evaluation more than anything else, fail that and miss the next NGE, the next general election. It's common sense not to be part of corruption, unwise decisions, and lackadaisical works. So Sean also wrote in to say they also need to read more, take an IQ and EQ test, and there should be a minimum level if one is to represent the rakyat. And most importantly, mental health assessment is to make sure that they're not cuckoo or going senile.
Oof. Yeah, not terminology that we advocate here at BFM at all.
And on WhatsApp, Alvin Lam said that this kind of comments from people in parliament makes me worry sometimes that we, a multiracial, multi-religion country, has that potential to self-implode.
Context is everything, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, what really gets me is the fact that this isn't the first time that Senator Mohammad Imran has gotten into trouble. You might remember back in 2015 while debating in the Dewan Rakyat, he said that sports participants who wear sexy attire at events could lead to illicit sex if they mingled freely with people. It was the same gentleman. Mm. So I do believe that he should be censured in some way. There are already calls from other PKR wings, Wanita wings, asking for him to step down and to be stripped of his senatorship. I don't know what's going to come of it, but I think we need to separate the issues, right? The way the issue was reported in the media wasn't fair. It doesn't have anything to do with the fact that what he said was uncalled for and has no place in Malaysia, Baru or Lama.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I suppose if we don't censure him, he will just attract this sort of media reporting, this sort of... People will just follow him around because he's got... We have had those politicians, no? The ones who are prone to just speak without thinking.
Oh, yes.
And they are just a media favorite. People just surround them.
And so what sort of a message does it send, right, to younger students, to young adults, that can you just say what you want and get away with it?
Absolutely not.
I mean, there needs to be a strong message that remarks like this should never be tolerated, especially in regard to rape and any form of violence or sexual violence in any form. So, yeah, it's... Again, like you said, Sumitra, this is not the first time, and I don't think it will be the last either. We will call them out, and that's it. They are not going to get penalized for speaking in that same manner.
Because consequences, right? We have to think about consequences. It's like how we say that, you know, oh, this was just an accident. You know, you might spill a glass of milk. That's fine. Some accidents require legal attention. Some accidents require you to go to jail. You can't tar everything with the same brush. Just because you say something and get away with it and say, I'm so sorry a million times doesn't cut it.
I mean, I just think we should reiterate that the media, as journalists, I think you should be more responsible for the way you try to deliver certain news.
Contextualize.
Exactly. I mean, and like you said, it's being picked up by international news outlets, and that just paints us with a certain brush.
That bill that was being debated in the Senate, that was pretty important.
And it was not reported the way it didn't make its rounds the way this story did.
Yeah, they picked the sensational part.
That's absolutely unfair.
Cherry picking.
Absolutely. So now that you have the full picture, or the bigger picture, if you like, what do you think of this whole controversy? Let us know your thoughts. You can tweet us at BFM Radio, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Or also look us up on Facebook, BFM The Bigger Picture, if you like to drop a message there. We'll come back with the poll results right after Don't Speak by No Doubt.
The Bigger Picture on BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
It's Tina, Kelly and Sumitra. This is the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture. This hour, we have been discussing several things.
How the internet has changed the way we communicate, for one. So Dr. Surinder Pal Kaur from the University of Malaya assured us that language is always evolving and there's no single right way to communicate. So, YOLO.
You didn't go there, Kelly.
I did. And Lily wrote in on WhatsApp and said, in relation to the first story about language, TBH, I mean, to be honest, it's something I got accustomed to, because as the interview with Dr. Surinder Pal mentioned, the internet creates a dynamic for how we use our language. And I especially got used to this as a habit when I blog often on Tumblr. Mm. One of the examples is how I started going along with the trend of yas, which I didn't know was a thing, but next thing I know, I started using it a lot. Though one acronym I'm never I never understand is GGWP, which apparently is used a lot in the gaming community.
Can I say good game, well played is also used in the Scrabble community?
Really? Wow. I didn't know that. Like online Scrabble or tabletop?
I use it.
Okay. Speaking of the gaming community, how yas and some of these words that are used in tech speak come into our day-to-day vocabulary, even dance moves from Minecraft dance moves, like flossing. You see that, you know, in the dance on dance floors.
The interweb is taking over.
Yeah.
In our second story, we also talked about, we spoke with Senator Yusmadi Yusuf for an insider's perspective to what actually happened in the Upper House of Parliament when Senator Muhammad Imran Abdul Hamid was reported to have suggested an anti-seduction law that was clearly not the case. Mm-hmm.
And we have a message on WhatsApp that said, I got quite triggered reading about what the senator said, actually, but I'm also glad to see a lot of people calling him out for that remark. The remark itself is a reflection of what kind of person he is and what he thinks, even if it was meant to be a joke. However, I think it's irresponsible for media reporting or misreporting or missing out certain details that what he said wasn't official, but it's an offhand comment. Big difference, right? So yeah, big media needs to practice more responsible journalism.
Absolutely.
Well said.
And just a final check on our Twitter poll. We asked you, do politicians need gender sensitivity training? 69% of you have voted yes, followed by 25% of you who said it won't make a difference, and only 6% of you said no.
I wonder why not?
Yeah.
Anyway, that's all the time we have today. If you missed any part of the show, download the podcasts on bfm.my/dailydigest from our BFM app or on Spotify. Now, speaking of senators in the Upper House, coming up at 3 p.m. on Lo and Behold, Sue-Ann will be discussing the role and importance of the Dewan Rakyat and the Dewan Negara in our democracy. That's it from us on the Daily Digest. Here's Breaking the Law by Judas Priest, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.